Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, really I am thankful to our Heavenly Father for this wonderful opportunity to be with you and to share the holy words of God. I bring the love of all the brethren in India.
All the brethren in India whom I frequently meet with. If you can understand him, I think you should take your headset off so we may be slightly different. Today I've chosen to speak about one of the seven parables of our loving Lord given in Matthew, the 13th chapter. My subject is the parable of the wheat and the tares. This parable illustrates the kingdom in its embryo stage. Our Lord foreknew the history of the church in the Gospel age. Before we interpret the parable, let us read the parable from Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and 36 to 43.
Here, our Lord not only spoke the parable,
He also interpreted the same at the request of his disciples.
The field is the
world,
which means
the hearts of the people in the Christian world.
The man who sowed
the good seed is the Son of Man.
And the good seed are the children of the kingdom.
We understand that when the Lord and his disciples had fallen asleep, which means when they all had died, the adversary, Satan, oversowed the same wheat field with tare seed, darnel, which represents the children of the wicked one, or the devil. We are told that such spiteful work is common in the Orient region.
Actually,
the darnel seed and the plant
is
totally different from the wheat and the wheat plant, but cannot be differentiated at an early stage.
Also,
the growing stalks look very much alike, and even when a head forms, the resemblance is close, except to experts in harvesting, until the heads ripen. Then the head of wheat becomes heavy, while the darnel, being light, stands upright.
Also,
it is very poisonous. If it is consumed, it will cause continuous vomiting because it cannot be digested. This represents that the errors and false doctrines are very dangerous for a Christian life, and only the experts can discern the wheat from the tares while growing. Our Lord gave this parable to illustrate how the errors would be brought in and mixed into the church by Satan, that the children of the wicked one, produced by error, in many respects resemble or counterfeit those who produce by the truth. Satan replaced all the truths with errors, false doctrines, during the papal reign, systematically. Each and every truth was manipulated and showed the truth as error and error as truth to the people. Even now, the errors tried to choke the truth. Revelation 12. These same matters are beautifully and symbolically pictured in Revelation 12, verses 1 to 2. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. What does all this signify? This is a beautiful symbolic picture of the true Christian church as it began in the first century of the Gospel Age. This church is shown as a woman, where she is to be the bride of Jesus. She had the light of the knowledge of the Gospel, the Son, and was well grounded in the understanding of the Old Testament laws, its types, and prophecies, the moon. And she had, as divinely appointed teachers, the 12 apostles, or the 12 stars. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, the church has become pregnant. How? This is all wonderful symbolic language, denoting that within the body of the church, a new life began to grow, unseen and invisible, as takes place when a new life begins within the womb of a pregnant woman. This new life within the church is the Antichrist system, or care class, mentioned in our parable. First members began to develop inside the body of the church, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This shows the unhappy feelings, circumstances among the members of the true church regarding this development within. This is shown in our parable too. Matthew chapter 13, verse 27. So the servants of the owner came, said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" Yes. Notice the unhappy feeling at the appearing of those tares. One thing we have to keep in mind is that it is impossible for Satan to corrupt or eliminate the seed of truth which Jesus and the apostles sowed. Neither was he allowed to interfere with the sowing of the real truth. But he was permitted to oversow tares in the field, and if possible, to choke the wheat, and in a general way to deceive the outside world respecting the true character of the wheat, the children of the kingdom. We are to have in mind the almighty power of God by which he could hinder Satan and prevent the accomplishment of Satan's plans at any and all times. We are to remember that the divine plan of the ages permits many things that God does not approve, but in his word condemns. And also, we are to remember that the divine plan spans several ages, that only the finished work will display divine wisdom, justice, love, and power. We are to remember that in the present time, God permits the wrath of demons and men to oppose his purposes, only so far as he can, and eventually will overrule these to his own glory and for the good of all in harmony with himself. Separated during the harvest. The parable represents the servants as asking whether or not the tares should be gathered out from the wheat, and thus the enemy's work be destroyed. The answer is no, because in so doing, there would be such a commotion in the wheat field as to disturb all the wheat. So intimately were the true and false associated, the roots intertwining in the society, in the home, and so forth. Instead, the master declared that both should be allowed to grow together throughout the gospel age until the harvest time at the end of this age. Then the reapers would be instructed concerning the gathering together and separating of two classes. The word harvest itself has a symbolic meaning, the separation. The wheat class would then be gathered into the barn, the tares would be bundled for burning, to the end that none of the bad seed might affect the future crop. The interpretation. At the special request of his disciples, our master interpreted this parable. Jesus himself was the sower of the good seed of the kingdom message. Satan was the sower of the seed of false doctrines and deception. The harvest time is the end of this age, just before the inauguration of the new age of Christ's millennial visible kingdom. The wheat class are those counted worthy to be associated with Christ in the glory of his millennial kingdom. The gathering into the barn or garner represents the resurrection change this wheat class will experience. The apostle explains this, saying, quote, "It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown an earthly body, it is raised a spiritual or heavenly body. This is the resurrection of the dead, the first resurrection." 1 Corinthians 15:43-44, and Revelation 2:6. The tare class is represented as being gathered out of the kingdom, verse 41, in the sense that the church at the present time is God's kingdom in embryo, in a state of progressive development, or preparation for the glory and the work of the future. All of the kingdom class are fully consecrated to God and begotten of the Holy Spirit with a view to their becoming divine spirit beings in the resurrection. Others who are not thus spirit begotten have no right to class themselves with wheat, nor to consider themselves heirs of the kingdom. Their presence in the church of the Christ is out of order. They have been permitted to commingle with the wheat for centuries. But with the end of the age, the dispensational change comes, incidental to the inauguration of the millennium. Now, the tares include some whom the apostle described as sowing the works of the flesh and the devil, namely anger, malice, hatred, envy, strife. However, many tares are fine people of a generous disposition, but not new creatures in Jesus. They are blameworthy, not because of not being spirit-begotten, but because they are in the nominal church and they're posing as Christians. They've been encouraged so to think and act by preachers and teachers, many of whom, like themselves, have no knowledge of the kingdom nor of the Spirit, begetting power that initiates one into membership in it. The gathering of these into bundles, into lodges, societies, churches, sects, parties, will be an evidence that the harvest work is in progress. The true wheat are exhorted to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made them free, and that they come not into bondage to sects and parties. They are to avoid membership in bundles, stand in the full fellowship of all who are of the true wheat class. The casting of the bundles into the furnace will mean their destruction, but we are in no sense to understand the furnace will be a literal one, nor that the fire will consume the tares to be a literal fire. The fire with which this age will end will be a great time of trouble, foretold in the scriptures as preceding and introducing the millennial kingdom, which is the visible kingdom. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. In that time of trouble, the delusions which now make the terrorists think themselves to be the true church will be dissolved. They will be reduced to their proper plane, the earthly plane, and recognize themselves as merely of the earth, earthly, not as members of the called out, spirit-begotten elect, the church of the living God. Hearken now to the Master's words respecting the consummation of the church's hope in the end of this age. He says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let such understand that with the close of this age, the Lord's saintly ones, irrespective of the earthly church systems, will be associated with their Redeemer in the glory of His millennial kingdom, and will shine forth as the sun for the blessing and enlightenment and uplifting of all the families of the earth. Harvest work in India. Now, I would like to comment on this parable in connection with the ongoing harvest in India, especially in South India, where we are working in the Christian field. Until 2001, we endeavored for more than a decade to spread the truth in various places, and because the fruitage was very little, we were totally frustrated at one point. By the grace of our Father and the Lord, when subjects were taken from the volumes of Brother Russell and systematically formatted, as in the days of Brother Russell, the results were more fruitful. Then we began to conduct public meetings in various places, started one-year follow-up classes, 53 lessons for 53 weeks. There we found many of the wheat class, and simultaneously the tares class also. Now there are more than 700 new brethren in the truth. What wonderful blessings our Lord has given us. Now there are many brethren doing the harvest work by using the materials that were systematically formatted. They also can see the fruitage. In addition, we found many of the tares class also. They deliberately oppose us, and we have gotten many bitter experiences through various trials, frustrations, oppositions, severe testings. Our loving Lord guides us by His Holy Spirit and strengthens us by His Word with meat in due season. So I request you all, brethren, please do remember us in our efforts for the truth's sake in your prayers. I also thank the saints, those who are already supporting us in the service for the Lord.
In India, though many learn English now, especially in South India,
he's ad-libbing now.
For many of our brethren to read the volumes in English directly. We thank God that now the volumes, volume number 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 are already translated into our own language, Tamil. And volume number 3 is under translation. All these 5 volumes were translated by our dear brother, Brother Silvaraj, who is amidst us now, here with us, and he is sitting before you, who God has used as an instrument. We pray to God that He might shower His grace more to him, to strengthen him, and to complete his work. Currently, he is with the third volume, and hope he will complete it very soon. And we would like to include some more translations that are already been completed from English to Tamil. First, the Tabernacle Shadows of the Better Sacrifices. Next one.
He is still ad-libbing everything, so it's not being translated.
Third one, Grand Reversal of History. Fourth one, Restitution Times. Next one, The Role of Ancient Worthies in God's Kingdom. Next one, Antichrist. Next one, Beware of the Dead. Next one, The Truth About Hell. And I missed one, that is, I Will Come Again.
These books are already being translated into our own language. So, the brethren are using these books in their daily discourses. And also, some books that are being translated now, especially subjects from the reprints, are being translated. Next, some subject from what Pastor Russell taught, what Pastor Russell wrote to the Overland Monthly, Pastor Russell's sermons, and what Pastor Russell said is almost translated to Tamil. So this is just for your information. Now we come to the book again, to the conclusion. So I request you all brethren, please do remember us and our efforts for the truth's sake in your prayers. I also thank the saints, those who are already supporting us in the service of the Lord. Be assured of our prayers for you, brethren, and also for all the saints all over the world. I wholeheartedly thank the brethren who gave me this chance to speak among you and also to share our experiences. May God bless you all. If it is God's will, we will meet once again, or we will meet in our heavenly realms. Amen.